Welcome back to the Hackberry House, a daily podcast devoted to the Word of God and the persecuted church. My name is Bob. This is podcast number 276. It's September 16, 2015. Well, today let's highlight the book of Genesis as we did the book of Revelation. Now, we can't do it all in one day as we didn't do that one in one day, but I have just begun the book of Genesis in my daily devotions and am finding things that I never found before. And I've been studying this Bible, 50 to 60 years. I started as a child and have read it through many times. Don't even know how many, but studied Bible college, all that stuff. And I'm still finding things in this book that caused me to want to go a little deeper. I want to go through some of those kinds of things with you rather than like through the whole book of Genesis, every verse. If you want to do something like that, I have a book I'll tell you about in just a little while called Through the Bible in 52 Lessons. But let's just go right there to Genesis chapter 1. Let's just find what we can find. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. You know so much of this, I'm sure. But by the way, turn in your Bible, please. Get it open. Go ahead and pause the recording and go get your Bible. Okay? Got it? All right, here we go. Genesis 1. I want you to follow along with me and to be sure that I'm saying what I have to say. And I don't want you to take notes. Oh, I'm sorry, you got to pause again. Go get some paper. Get some notes. Be sure that what I'm saying is what I ought to be saying. You're allowed to question teachers. You need to question teachers in our day. If you have a question of a difference of opinion or even something you don't understand, I'd be glad to hear about that. Email or text is the best way to get a hold of me. I've had a couple of phone calls recently, and I'm not always available that way. And it's hard to, when I return the call, it's hard to get you to be available. So text is so much better, email. I found some things that were interesting insights to me. That, for example, the world, as God said, simply, let there be light. That was the first day. But that was the very first thing he did. In fact, the very first thing he did is create it all. Somehow, just boom, there it was. He starts with a miracle is where I'm going with this. He starts with a huge miracle. And then he puts a sun in the sky. And he puts a moon. He puts different things. And there's not miracles every day now. Did you notice? In the earth, we don't need a miracle every day. I mean, the fact that it's there and God is sustaining it, that's miraculous for sure. The fact that we're here at all. But I mean, you don't see creative miracles happening all the time. It's all here. Everything's here. If you'd have been there on those first 6 days, you'd have been going, wow, wow, oh, wow. But you don't do that every day now. You're kind of supposed to. As you go out into the woods and you see the different things God has created, ask God to put His spirit of wonder back in your heart. But the church started with miracles too. And then God put in place elders and pastors and teachers and so on to carry on the work of the Lord. And it's not always a miracle every day, and yet the very fact of the church being here, same thing, the fact that the Bible is here, the fact that you are saved, and there's still a lot of miracles going on, but they're not on the level as those initial miracles. If you want to take that little note, put it down, chuck it away, meditate on it, see if it's true. The Spirit of God was moving over the face of the waters. 2 Peter 3:5 says that the earth was formed out of the water and later was destroyed by water. Water is very, very important. Now, I know that there's folks that have put a whole lot of stuff in between verses 1 and 2 in your Bible. And you know what? I was always taught, if the Bible says it, we say it. If the Bible doesn't say it, we don't say it. Keep your mouth closed. No, I don't believe there's anything in between verse 1 and verse 2. And I don't believe that the word was in verse 2 should be became. The earth became formless. And we got a whole civilization that developed during this whole time here. And oh no, please. Please don't go there. There's no need for it. You don't have to. You're just stressing yourself out. What we have here from 2 Peter and Genesis tells the whole story that the earth, the dry land, was formed out of water. Later it was destroyed by water. All that happened in those first 1,500 years of the planet. A lot of these things are spread out over a lot of time. Notice the phrase, evening and morning, starts in the first day. Before there was a sun and there was a moon. But there was light and darkness. There was evening and morning. How does God do that without? Well, come on now. If God can say, let there be light, and there's no sun, then there is light. All right, there is light. And if he wants to say that later on, during that same light period, there was a little less light, maybe a lot less light, then let him do that. It's okay. I don't know how he did that. He had his own light above the earth. Himself, perhaps, but there was light. It was there. He put the light bearers later, but there was light. So yes, you can have 24-hour days before a sun, before a moon, before all that. Because God's the one measuring things, not the things that we measure. God's the one who says there is light, there is darkness, there is evening, there is morning. And he can call it whatever he wants, but there's no reason for us to call it anything other than these 24-hour days, because God speaks good English. He speaks good Hebrew. Whatever language he wants to talk this book of Genesis in, he speaks it easily. He doesn't put any explanations in there and saying, well, these first days were 5 billion years each. He doesn't say anything like that. He gives you the impression, and I think it's a very valid impression, that those first 3 days before there was a sun and a moon were the same time length as those that came later. And he just put the timers in there for us. But the time was already set in place before that. Why can't you believe that? Because science has convinced you? I hope you're not going with science when you've got a book that tells you what happened. God spoke to you what happened. He was there. He's the only one that was there. No scientist was there. Why would you believe it? Because of their evidence. Now, their evidence is faulty. It's based on things that they already believe. They do what people do to the scriptures. They go to the scriptures with a particular mindset, and then everything in the scripture has to go along with that mindset. Pre-tribulation rapture is that type of thing. The scientists have a mindset that there is no God, many of them, and they go into the scripture with that mindset. And therefore, everything has to, in Genesis, just has to be denied. Why? If it says there was one day, and there were 6 days total, why can't we just say that? I mean, what are you going to do with the Sabbath later on? What are you going to do with the fact that there was a full pattern, excuse my microphone there, there was a full pattern of weeks by the time the people of God were led out into the wilderness. And by the time life began, there was this pattern of weeks. There was 6 days and then there was a seventh day. 6 days and a seventh day. And that pattern continued. That's where we don't get the pattern of weeks from anything that's going on in the heavens. We get it from the Word of God. You know, the moon, it creates our months. The sun creates our years and days. But what creates our weeks? God's Word. I'm sure the Antichrist and whoever gets world power one day will try to change that. It says he's going to change times and seasons. You could have a 10-day week. Why wouldn't that be possible? Sure. But biblically, it's 6 days and one. And so I believe that if he's got a pattern that's going to last throughout all of time so far, 6,000 years of history of men, you've got this pattern. Why wouldn't the original Genesis 1 story fit that pattern perfectly so that we can have a pattern? If we're supposed to rest on the seventh day and the first 3 days are supposed to be several billion years each, that's going to be pretty difficult to do, don't you think? No, he established it from the beginning. There's no reason to come away from what you were taught as a child. Let the people of the world change. You don't have to. God's Word is still true. Notice in verse 14, God said, let there be lights in the expanse of the heavens to separate the day from the night. And let them be for signs and for seasons. That word signs kind of reached out to me this time. Again, I'm not teaching Genesis here. I'm teaching my notes on Genesis this time around. We'll get through the whole book, but we'll be skipping whole bunches, all right? Signs. I thought, you know, that's true. That the sun, the moon, the stars, all of that stuff has been for signs at different times of history. The birth of Jesus, for example, the second coming of Jesus, the heavens will be telling about that. And in one sense, when you look up into the heavens and just see it there, it's a signal that somebody bigger than you and I has been at work. Verse 21 talks about sea monsters. There they are. You wonder, what are the dinosaurs in the Bible? Well, it's right there. Why not? Dinosaurs, sea monsters. There's no word that they could come up with in many of the translations except creatures or animals. We don't know who they are. There's something that was in the sea. We see it in the book of Job, verses 15 of chapter 40, and verse 1 of chapter 41. This Leviathan and Behemoth, and that people don't know what they were, but there's a good place for those dinosaurs to be. Don't let people intimidate you, saying you guys are so far behind the curve, you don't understand that there were dinosaurs. Sure we do. They aren't named in the Bible, but it could easily have been one of these sea monsters. Look at verse 26. It's interesting, I think, that God said, let us make man in our image. All of a sudden, it's us. We've got third person up till then. God did this and God did that. But when God begins to speak, even the Father, even the great God Almighty, does not consider himself alone. And he doesn't want us to be alone either. It's not good for man, people, anyone, to be alone. He was not alone. And he's not alone now. I've heard people say, well, he needs you. He needs you. You got to come to Jesus because he needs you. No, you need him. You need him if you want to live forever. He does love you. He does want you. But the sense of need, you got to be careful with that one, because he was complete in himself. Father, Word, Spirit, let us. There was a plurality in his nature somehow that made him say us. He could have said, I think I'll make a man now. He didn't say that. No, it's not Allah here. This is the Trinitarian God. I don't like to use the word Trinitarian because it's not in the scripture. But the idea surely is all the way through. Let us make man. And then it says in verse 27 that he did make man, and male and female he created them. Well, now that wasn't on the day of the first day of man's creation. Eventually, though, it was male and female he created. Notice that although woman technically came out of man, there was a separate creation too, with Adam playing the part of having given part of himself to that creation. Still, it was God's creation. Both Adam and Eve are creations of God, but by putting the rib inside of Eve later, he lets us know that they're meant to be one. Even before marriage comes into the picture here, you see man and woman as one. He didn't create another man, secondly. And let's put these two guys together. No, he put a man and a woman together, symbolically, and for all time, telling us, that's my pattern. That's how it's supposed to be. Notice what you're supposed to be eating if you're in a perfect world. I've given every green plant for food. Yep, that's what it was originally. Green. The vegetarians need not to be laughed at anymore. That's how it was in paradise. Even after paradise for a while. The people they ate the fruit of the trees and then the plants of the field, which includes, of course, all the grains, everything that comes out of the earth. There was no bloodshed for food for quite some time. That's a perfect world. I'm not saying I do that because meat is allowed now. Surely allow, but it wasn't the ideal. There's a lot of things that we do now that are not the ideal, but God is permitting them. Man and woman come along in chapter 2. But you know, we've also come along to our 15-minute break here, so I'm going to stop right there and remind you of our book of the day, book of the week, or whatever. It's Through the Bible in 52 Lessons. I put this together several years ago so that I could have all the lessons in one book, and then I decided to just pass that on to you because it's a very helpful thing. All it is questions. Questions about the Bible. Every book of the Bible, it gives you a set of instructions, a set of questions, and it gives you a little introduction about that book, where it came from, the date and who and so on, a little bits about that. But then question after question, and guess what? There's no answers in this book, deliberately. The Bible study leader, maybe that's you, will take this book and will dig into it himself before he teaches. And he'll have his people digging into it. The answers are real obvious. I give the verses where you can find those answers each time. I like the book. It's very helpful. I've gone through it several times with classes. I've heard of people online having gone through it with their families, and they call in other people. This is a good thing for you. Through the Bible in 52 Lessons. By the way, yes, every one of these lessons in audio. I mean, I'm actually teaching a lesson, not just me reading the questions, but I'm actually teaching through the Bible, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, in 52 lessons, right here at Sermon Audio. And then all the everything that's in this book, the written part, is online too, in PDF form. You can get it there a little bit at a time, if you want to just go that way, or go to, I always have to look, you'll just, for now, just go to Amazon.com. And then look up my name, Bob Faulkner, and you'll find that book. I hope you'll do that. Tomorrow, I think we'll continue with Genesis. I want to continue with Genesis until I'm caught up to my devotions, and that's going to be a while. I'm up in chapter 5 now. We only did one chapter. So here we go again. With Grandpa, who gets sidetracked. But I hope you're enjoying, not enjoying, but actually profiting from going through the Word like this. Maybe this can be a part of your daily devotion to be glad to work with you, at least through the book of Genesis. I'm not committing after that, but it could be we'll go through the whole Bible. At this rate, it'll take us quite a while. God bless you today. Don't forget, in the beginning, God